Good morning again. Before we proceed, I wanted to share again regarding this same girl. She had my phone while we were driving, and Pastor Jeff's message came through. And she goes, "Oh, Pastor Jeff, he wants to know you read Thessalonians. She goes, 4:1-12. And so I explained that to her, what those all numbers meant. And she goes, "Oh, learn something new every day." So page 1170, 1 Thessalonians. I had to say that over and over again, too, to get it right. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should do wrong to his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men of all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so much more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Oops.
Lord, we do thank you that in light of the resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday, that your will is that we continue to walk in the power of the resurrection. But we ask that you'd give us wisdom on what that means and what that looks like so that we can truly practice the resurrection in our lives in ways that make an impact, but make an impact that pleases you. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us wisdom through your word and your spirit, who we welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You'll notice in verse 11, it starts with, "Make it your ambition." Make it your ambition. In the world's eyes, ambition means you go big. Means you go large. It means you go big or you go home. Ambition is to make a big impact. Ambition means be awesome. Be great. Be radical. That's what we normally associate with ambition. Ambition to go big or go home. It was interesting. We had these little Dixie cups that we bought, and even on the Dixie cups, these little cups that we use when our kids are sick or whatever, they use those little cups to give them a little water or medicine to drink. And so even on those little cups, there it says, "Be awesome," on a little Dixie cup, and we only use them when our kids are sick, right? So when our kids are, you know, feeling cranky and, you know, really sick, they're looking at that. "Be awesome." Yeah, sure. Can I just be myself right now? Can I just, like, be ordinary? That would be nice. Well, some of you have seen the first Lego movie. And in the first Lego movie, there's this little mini Lego figure called Emmett. Emmett is a simple-minded character who kind of floods his mind with TV shows and pop music. And one of the songs that he keeps repeating from pop music is this song, which has this lyric, "Everything is awesome." And he just is constantly singing that song, everything is awesome. Everything is awesome. Everyone is awesome. Everything is awesome. That's his mantra. And the movie kind of deals with what are the implications of that? If everyone is supposed to be awesome and everything is supposed to be awesome, then how does that actually work in real life? Are we truly trying to live awesome lives? Are we truly trying to live these big, bold, go big or go home kind of lives? Is that the ambition that the scriptures are telling us about? Is that what should be our ambition? That's in our culture, and that cultural thinking about being awesome and that ambition to be great and radical in every way has seeped into the church. One of the things that I like to do every now and then is kind of look at the trend in church names, like new churches, and they name themselves. And so what are the names that they give to themselves? And, you know, here's a few. Impact Church. Potential Church. Transformation Church. Renovation Church. The Experience Church. Champion Life Church. The Burning Hearts Church. There's a church in our city called Epic. Epic Church. Everything is just so big, right? So big. But what does this word really mean, ambition, in the scriptures? Let's understand what should be our ambition. When we look at that word, make it your ambition. Just to give you a little bit of a background to it, this word was used actually to depict a practice of wealthy people in Greco-Roman times. And these Greco-Roman rich people, instead of paying taxes, they would be allowed to give donations that would go back into the city, donations that would help with public works projects or food programs or other ways that would help the city. So that word, make it your ambition, was related to that, because what would happen is all these rich people would give these big donations and try to outgive each other. Because if you could show that you could give the biggest donation back to the city, it was kind of a representation that you were probably the most powerful, most wealthiest person that lived in that area. So that was the idea. You give more so you can show people in your city that you were the most powerful and that you were the richest. So make it your ambition to donate big. That's where this word came from. Now, what does Paul mean by it? Make it your ambition. Elsewhere in Paul's writings, we see that same word, make it your ambition, in this context, to please the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians 5:9, it says this, we make it our goal or our ambition to please Him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. And so when you look in this section, when you look at verse 1, it says this, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Make it your ambition to please God. So that just tells us, listen, we're not the stars of our stories. We're not the ones who everyone should look at and say, wow, look at him or look at her. How great, how awesome, how epic. How impressive they are. No, what should be our ambition? Make it our ambition to make Jesus the star of the story. To make Jesus the one who everyone points to please the Lord. We have nothing to prove. It is all about Him, because He proved everything for us on the cross for us. Amen? Amen. So we have nothing. So that's our goal. It's to please the Lord. And then we also see another place to share the gospel. In Romans 15:20, Paul says this, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. To preach the gospel is my ambition. That's a great ambition. And so even in our text today, we see later on in verse 12, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Paul has that thought in this text as well. So those are two basic ambitions of the Christian, right? To please the Lord and to share the gospel. right? Make it your ambition to do that. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? And in our context today, we see that there are two basic ambitions that go along with those ambitions. One is to love one another. To love one another. Look at verse 9. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. That word love for one another is the word, you know it, Philadelphia, right? City of brotherly love, which is sounds almost sarcastic when you think about the city of Philadelphia. But brotherly love, that's the idea here. Brotherly love. Extend your love to your brothers and sisters. You are now in a family. You are the family of God. So love one another. And I love how Paul says this about the Thessalonians. He says, you're doing it. We don't even have to write to you about that. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Press into it. Go deeper into it. Love one another better than you are right now. You're doing well. Keep it going. Raise the volume on your love for one another, right? So this is something that's difficult. If we always think that our ambition should be to go big and go great and be awesome and everything, because really the big thing that we should be doing is the small thing of loving one another. It's those small things of ordinary love. That's where we should go deeper. Sometimes it's really easy to think about going big in terms of causes that we can endeavor to take. One being, you know, we could go and serve the poor in our city. We can go and serve at City Impact in the Tenderloin. And let's say we do that. Let's say we go and serve once or twice a month and serve the homeless there and give them meals. And that would be great. But what's harder, to serve the homeless and the Tenderloin twice a month, or to love your 2-year-old child every day who is always needing you and always a mess every day? Which one's harder? Which one's harder to love? Is it harder to love the people in the Tenderloin twice a month, or is it harder to love your spouse who just wants you to listen every day? Which one is harder? Which one is scarier? Which one calls for more of you?
The second one.
Right. So if we are to think, instead of going big and doing something radical and all of that, if we can let that go, that will allow us to go big in the small, to go big in love for one another. That's where Paul is wanting us to take our ambition. To take our ambition and go deeper in loving one another. He gives this great example in verse 10. In fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Love this picture. Because if you go to 2 Corinthians 8, the Macedonians are already poor. They're poor and Paul says, are giving, the Macedonians were giving to their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem out of their poverty. And this gives us the indication that the Thessalonian believers were the ones who were giving to the Macedonian believers, who were giving to the Jerusalem believers. Do you see what's going on here? Here they are looking at their brothers and sisters who they probably don't even know, but they're sending money and prayers for their Macedonian brothers. What's happening to them? They're doing the same thing for people they don't know in Jerusalem. Their love is going deeper and deeper. And what happens when your love goes deeper? It reproduces. That's what loving one another deeply does. It multiplies. It reproduces. That's the nature of love. So sometimes if we just think, go big, get dreamy, do the radical thing, sometimes we can hide behind those things to avoid the hard thing of loving one another. Loving one another deeply. So, This is what Paul says. He says, we urge you, at the end of verse 10, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Do so more and more. Love one another. You're doing it? Go deeper. Love one another? Better. You know, one of those things that was big for us last weekend was Holy Week. Holy Week was full of wonderful ministries. Good Friday service. We were at Daly City and we had a wonderful time. God met us there. And then Sunrise Service, Mount Davidson, 400 people there. Many of those who didn't know the Lord, having good conversations. Great time because we proclaimed the gospel up there. And then here, proclaiming the gospel here. Wonderful things God's doing here. You know, and for me, that's big. I get to be part of something big. So, when I go home, do my kids care? Not so much. They're still going to need me to do whatever. They're still going to be messy with me. What about my wife? She care? I need to love her just the same, right? So what happened on, it was interesting. We had this moment on Monday or Tuesday. Trish and I were sitting on the couch and we were talking about this moment where we had this misunderstanding. It happened and it was a miscommunication. And then the conversation went into something like even deeper, like this pattern that I had throughout our whole marriage of how I was missing her in certain ways. So there I am, dealing with the realities and the tensions of me not showing up like I thought I was showing up and realizing that I wasn't showing up the way I need to show up. You know what I could have said is, don't you know all the big things I did last week? I was part of that service and this service and that, and God was working and you're bringing this. That's what happens if we focus on doing the big thing, being ambitious, doing something great. We can hide behind that in order to avoid the hard work of love. Hard work of just loving our spouse or loving our brothers and sisters or loving our coworkers well. See? So let's not do that. Let's not just think dreamy stuff. Let's get down into what Jesus is calling us to do. Love one another deeply. What's the next step that you can take to love your brothers and sisters? What's the next level? How can you get beyond the superficial? How can you get beyond talking about the weather and sports with one another? How can you go deeper with your spouse? How can you go deeper with your children? You can pray for them. Pray for them, right? Pray deeply. Pray another level. Don't pray for just the superficial. Pray for their hearts. Pray for what God is wanting to do. Pay attention to what's going on in them, right? What's the next level of love that God is calling you to do? That's what Paul is saying. Do so more and more. Do so, right? So, love one another. Number two, be faithful in the ordinary. Be faithful in the ordinary. Love this. Verse 11. Make it your ambition. Wow. Make it your ambition to what, Paul? Go big? Go radical? What? To lead a quiet life. What? Sounds a little bit like a paradox, doesn't it? Make it your ambition to live a quiet life. Wow. Isn't that so countercultural? What happened to be awesome? No, live a quiet life. Be ambitious to live quietly? Okay. What do you mean? Because he's saying that when you live quietly, that is the best reflection of the Christian life. Now, there are a lot of Christians who are on Twitter, and they're way too loud. Way too loud. They're all loud in all the wrong ways. Paul would say, strive eagerly to be quiet. Be in a posture of listening. That's what he says. Live quietly. I love that. What's the next thing? Keep to your own business, is what he says. Mind your own business. You're wondering, what does that mean in the Greek? It means exactly that. Mind your own business. Keep your eyes on your stuff. Do your job. And do it well. If you don't, You're going to be in everybody else's business. Don't be in everybody else's business. Do your business. Don't meddle in other people's affairs. One of the problems that was happening in the Thessalonian church was people expected that Jesus was going to return at any time. At any time. The second coming was imminent, and so what did people do? A lot of guys quit their jobs. They quit their jobs and just stayed at home. They stayed at home waiting for the Lord to return. And Paul is saying, get back to your jobs. Do your jobs. Stay faithful in minding your business. Do your work. Otherwise, you're going to be messing around in everybody else's work. So knock it off. Do mind your own business. And then he says to work with your hands. Work with your hands. Work that is with your hands is sacred work when it's fueled by love. When it's fueled by love. So don't neglect your work. Work for your living. Don't mooch off of other people. That's what was happening. That was the second thing happening. So these people who were not working anymore, waiting for the Lord to return, they were mooching off the other brothers and sisters who were working. It's kind of like a little welfare system that was going on when they could have easily just worked. So Paul is saying, get your hands back to work. Go and take care of your work. Be self-sustaining in your lifestyle. Now why? What is this ambition about? Why make it your ambition to live quietly and to work and sustain yourself in society? He says it right here, verse 12. So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. It's missional. It's missional. So that you will not be dependent on anybody. You know, even the outside world, they don't like moochers either. They don't like people who just constantly leech off of other people. They see that and they go, I can't really give that a lot of credibility. It affects our witness, right? Win the respect of outsiders. How does that work? Well, a plumber, a teacher, a chef, they can do their jobs with excellence and win the respect of outsiders. Do your job as unto the Lord. Do your job as unto the Lord. You know, there was a group in our country back in the colonial time called the Shakers. You know, not the Quakers, but they were related to that, the Shakers. The Shakers were a group of people who were known for the furniture that they would make. And the Shakers had this unique thing about their furniture. If you took a chair that they would make with the fabric and the leather and the wood and everything, it would look wonderful on the outside. Beautiful artmanship, you know, workmanship and all that. But if you turned it over and looked at the bottom of the chair, it also had beautiful workmanship and handcrafting and all of that. And if you asked a Shaker, why do you put so much intricate work into the bottom of the chair where nobody else sees? The Shaker would say, because the Lord sees. The Lord sees all. And so all my work is unto Him. When you work unto the Lord, no matter what you are, if you're a chef, if you're a graphic design artist, if you are working in IT, no matter what you do, if you do all your work unto the Lord, you will win the respect of the outsider. People will look at your work and say, that's excellent work. That's excellent work. Now, is that radical? Is that big? Is that great? It's not in the ways that we think of. It's not leaving everything behind, going to the 1040 window and laying your life down for an unreached people group. But it's big in the eyes of the Lord. It matters. It's in the small things that God shows up big. You want to do something big, do something small, and watch God do something big out of the small. That's how God operates, right? And so that's what we do. How else is it that we can see people gain credibility? Outsiders look at what you do in the workplace. Your workplace is a place of redemption. Your workplace in how you love your coworker and how you say, hey, I'll pray for you. Or how you listen to their stories when they're going through hard things. I love that about many of you who work in your workplaces. You see yourself as an ambassador of Christ. That your cubicle is an outpost of God's kingdom. No matter who you are, where you are an outpost of God's kingdom in this city. I love that. I love that. And that's where redemption can take place. It's how you love your coworkers. It's not looking at your coworkers as just resources, not looking at your coworkers as how they contribute to the bottom line, but it's looking at your resources as people who are loved and made in God's image and treating them that way. That's how you win the respect of the outsider. That's how you do it. So, what about the early church? This is the early church, people. Sometimes we glorify the early church and say, wow, the early church, they turned the world upside down. They were big. They were radical. This is the early church. The early church loved one another. Acts 2:42. What were they known for? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They prayed together. Right? They devoted themselves to the fellowship. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread together. The Lord's Supper. That's not big. How big is that? It's very ordinary. It's very small. But it's in that devotion to the very ordinary things that God did extraordinary things. It's when they devoted themselves to one another that God showed up miraculously. It's when they prayed together that God did miracles. It's when they loved one another in fellowship that people were converted to the Lord. It's when they broke the bread that the power of the cross started transforming people's lives. It's in the very ordinary things. It's in those very ordinary relationships that if we devote ourselves to them and we're faithful to those ordinary things, God will do the extraordinary through the ordinary things we do. That's how we live radical lives. It's in doing small things, ordinary things. So lots of implications, but I want us to be left with that one thought. It's not going for me. Here you go. If you want to go big, go small. Watch God do the extraordinary in the ordinary. Watch God when you devote yourself to love your spouse or love your kids or love your brothers and sisters in the church, when you listen to their stories, when you tend to their hearts, when you devote yourselves to loving better, watch God do something big out of that small thing you do. Watch what God does when you just take time to listen to somebody. Listen to their story. Watch what the Holy Spirit does when you do the ordinary thing. So parents, take time. Talk with your children. Let them talk to you. What they have on their hearts is not too small. Because when you just listen to what's on their hearts, God does something amazing through that. Believers, church, keep investing in loving one another well. Take time to listen to each other's story so that you know what everybody's struggling with. You know what somebody's weak looks like. So you know how you can pray for one another in real time. Brothers and sisters, let's love one another well. Be faithful to love each other. Love your coworkers. Love your baristas. Love the checker at the checkout line at the store. Love your family. Don't just love a cause. Love your neighbor. Don't think that doing the big thing is bigger than your neighbor's broken down plumbing. That's the big thing. Help them with the little things. Double down on the love that you already have. Double down on it. Invest in it. And watch God do the extraordinary through the ordinary investments that you make in love for His glory. In this way you please God. In this way you honor God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would help us with those notions that we have about going big, doing something radical. Lord, that just creates a restlessness within us. A restlessness that happens in the day to day if we start thinking that we should be doing something bigger than what you've already called us to do, and that's just love one another. So Lord, sift out all those false notions of what our ambition should be and allow us to walk and strive in loving one another and loving each other in the very ordinary ways you've called us to live quietly, to work with our hands. Because in all of these things, you are glorified. And we do this, Lord, that others might see and know that we serve a different master, that we serve a different king. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.